I grew up in California, and one of my neighbors, one of the fellow homeschool students, was this guy named Jared Sanchez. And so we grew up playing King of the Hill, and he would make his own wooden swords, and we'd fight each other. And ever since, he'd always beat me up too. He was always bigger and stronger. But ever since I was young, I remember about Jared is he always had a heart. He always wanted to be a missionary. But I remember he says, "I'm going to Africa one day." And through the years, it's like you'll hear the story, but things didn't work out like he planned. But he knew God's calling, and he didn't give up on it. And that's something I have to respect about him. Because he just didn't walk away, even though it never happened. He didn't give up on his dreams, but he knew God called him, and he's patient, and he believed it. And so Jared's going to share with you some things. And what I like about this is, you know, he's just not this missionary for me that I know, that I met. You know, he's always just a missionary, but he's this guy. He's just my friend. And to see, you know, where he is now, how God's put him, where God's put him now, he's like, his story could be any one of our stories. And in some way, it should be our stories. It may not be Africa, but some other way. So I just want to, I'm very thankful for Jared's friendship, and I just have him come up here now.
I want to trickle this wire right here. All right. Well, as you guys know, I'm Jared Sanchez. I just want to tell you real quickly about myself. Grew up in a family of six. I am the second oldest. I have an older brother and three younger sisters and a younger brother. And grew up near Jacob and stuff like that. But I just want to talk about some things about my life and what got me thinking about, you know, I mean, why you guys might be wondering, why did I want to be a missionary? What was it? And one of the things that I keep wondering, or looking back in my life, and I see what God has done in my life, I just want to share with you a few things about what God has done with that. When I was 2 years old, I was at the beach with my dad, and loved the water, loved being at the beach, and all that. And so I was holding my dad's hand, and the wave came, crashed, sucked me under, and my dad lost his footing. I'm in the water. And I guess I knew enough to hold my breath. And my dad was looking, and he said, all of a sudden, popped here in my head, and my head popped up, and I didn't drown, didn't die in the ocean, you know? I mean, right there at the grace of God. And then when I was 4 years old, I was at a pool with my church group, and we were all around this pool, and people were doing different things, and I saw kids that were older than me jumping into the pool. I was, you know, had those swimmies on here, some big floaty things. But I used to wear those. And so I was looking at them, those kids are about the same age as me. I can go out there and just take off my swimmies, go running up there, jump off the diving board, the deep end, and start going down. So, and nobody saw me jump in. This is the crazy thing. Nobody saw me jump in. There was a lady sitting off the side who was good friends of my family, and she said she felt like God said, turn around. And so she turns around. She sees me in the pool, so she dives in and gets me out, you know, as I'm drowning. So like twice now in my life, I'm like, wow, God, you know, saved my life twice from drowning, and I should have been dead already twice. But twice, He picked me up and He kept me alive, and He even used people, you know, and it's just like, this is great. So, you know, my mom even reminded me of different things growing up, like she named my name is Jared Michael Sanchez, and, you know, first two names, then she picked, so. Jared means to come down or descend, and Michael is who is like God. And she always told me, you know, your name is special. I named you for a purpose. And, you know, who would know if God would ask me to go into the far reaches of the world, but that's what He did. And I just want to share with you, too, I believe that God called me for a purpose, but I believe God called each one of you here in this room right now for a purpose. Each one of you. There is a purpose that God has for you. Even at your workplace, around your group of friends, at the restaurant. You have a purpose. I mean, you never know what God's going to do. He can surprise you. He can move through you guys. And that's one of the things God kept putting on my heart. Jared, you're made for a purpose. I saved you twice from death, where you should have been dead. But no, I'm going to save you twice. When I was 4 years old, I asked Christ into my life, and it was a really neat experience. I don't really want to talk about that too much, because I just want to kind of talk about how God brought me into the mission. I mean, that is part of that. So I asked Christ into my life at 4 years old, and it really made sense to me, because I said, Jesus loves me. And I understood, Jesus loves me for who I am. He's not going to push me. He's not going to push me. He's going to love me, and he's going to take me in no matter what. With all my imperfections, all my weaknesses, God's going to love me. And I knew that. So when I was 8 years old, and that's when you start, getting a little more like, what do you want to be when you're older? And you're like, well, I want to be a firefighter, policeman, city councilman, president of the United States, whatever. So I was going through, and I was like, okay, God, well, I know you made me for a purpose. What is that purpose? And so I went through it, and I at the time I was a little kid, so I thought, math and this and that, and I tried different things, writing and whatnot. And then I was like, the only thing I really understand out of the whole thing in this 8-year-old life was the Bible. That was the only thing that made sense to me, was Jesus and the Bible. And so I was like, well, then I could be a pastor or missionary. And I said, okay, Lord, which one do you want me to do? And, he kind of showed me, Jared, you like the outdoors, you like people, and you love my word, so why don't you be a missionary? I'm like, that's awesome, let's do it, let's go for it. So, and Africa is the first thing that pops on your brain, so I was like, okay, let's go for Africa. And when you think about that, it's kind of an overwhelming thought. I mean, you're leaving all your family, all your friends. So the first scripture I want to kind of share with you is just that God showed me about my choice. My choice now, God says, I want you to be a missionary. And now I'm like, okay, God, I'm inadequate. I'm only 8 years old. How am I going to do that? This is a good scripture that he's brought to my mind many times in my life. It's the 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 and 4. And it says, his divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. Through these, he has given us his very great and precious promises, so that through his promises, through Christ, we may participate in the divine nature and escape the corruption caused by the evil desires. And so that gives me hope, and that strength of his divine. It's not my power. It's not Jared Sanchez going out to the mission field. It's me stepping and just doing what God has called me to do, and I can do it. So that really gave me strength and encouragement. And also, as I was growing up older I was getting older, and I'm like, okay, well, I still don't really know what I'm going to, or how I'm going to get out to Africa. I still don't know how this is going to happen. I was looking at different places and missions, and I don't know what to do. And is just really what God wants me to do, or is it something that I'm thinking, well, I want to make an easy way out? And some people say, missionaries, they just, may want to just get the easy way out because they don't want to have to worry about working to get their check every week or whatever. And I'm like, is that me or is that God? And so there's a scripture God has brought to my life many a time. And I'm going to keep sharing scripture throughout what God has done in my life, what God has done, and what he's spoken to me as I've been growing up. So I want you guys to come along with me on this journey. And he says in Isaiah chapter 46, verse 9 through 11, he says, remember the former things, those of long ago. I am God, and there is no other. I am God, and there is none like me. I make known the end from the beginning. From ancient times, what is still to come, I say, my purpose will stand, and I will do all that I please. From the east, I summon a bird of prey. From a far off land, a man to fulfill my purpose. what I have said, that will I bring about. What I have planned, that will I do. And so, I mean, you think about that. When he says, I am God and there is no other. I am God and there is none like me. It's like, wow. Okay, God, then use me, take me. You know, move me to that place. Move me to wherever you're going to take me. Let me go. Because if you're going to call me from California all the way over to Sudan, then use me. Then move me. Then stir in me. And how can I get to know you more so that I can stand when, you know, the evil desires of this world comes upon me? Because I want to stand in Christ. That's what we are called to do. And so, you know, I went to Bible school for about 2 years, and I was thinking I was going to go with this Bible school out to Africa, but then they told me, well, I'm sorry, we have no missions work in Africa. It's complete, as they call it, because they were more of a tribal working group. And I was like, well, then I don't know what I'm going to do. So I kind of just lost all hope at that point. Not all hope, but I just lost, like, where do I go? What do I do? So I just went back home. I started working, and, you know, I'm starting to work, and I'm just like, well, God's going to take me out here. I don't know how he's going to do it. I don't know through what or how or where, but he's going to do it. And Isaiah 64, this is what it says. Verse 4, it says, since ancient time, no one has heard, no ear has perceived, no eye has seen any God besides you who acts on behalf of those who wait for him. So am I going to get impatient and just say, forget it, God, you didn't answer me when I thought you were going to answer me. I'm not a missionary right now. I'm just going to work and stay home and say, forget all this stuff. No, in my heart, God kept telling me, Jerry, I have made you for a purpose. I have made you for my plan. And I couldn't get away from it. I was just like, okay, God's made me for a purpose. God's made me for a plan. What is that? You know? And I knew missions to Africa, but I didn't know exactly where yet. It was still in the, I was like, Africa. So I remember I drew a big map of Africa, and, you know, you look at the maps when they show that. And then you go, I tried to go through and, like, stencil out, like, the different little areas. And then I was like, well, maybe I should pray for it, pray for these different areas, because I didn't know where I was going to be at. So I was like, okay, I'll pray. It's kind of fun. Anyway, so I'm sitting there and I'm working. I came back home. I worked for 5 years. And those were five long years. But during that time, it was good. A lot of good growing time. And God got to show me different things about myself and my weaknesses. And then I heard about a group called Youth of the Mission. And they have a school that's called a discipleship training school. It's your first school that you go to with them. It's about 6 months, 3 months. Usually in the States, and then 2 or 3 months overseas. And I heard that a friend of mine came back from one of the YWAM trips, the DTS, Discipleship Training School. And they come back, and they tell me, oh, we went to Africa. I'm like, what? You went to Africa? Dude, let me go. So I ended up going over there, and I went over, and we did the school in Colorado. And then I flew, actually this was the time I came over here too, when I was in Colorado, flew over. Anyway, then I went over to Kenya, Africa. So it was my first time being in Africa. I was there for 2 months, and I was like, ooh, this is cool. But I was like, Kenya is not the place I feel like God wants me to be. And I kept asking God, God, what do you want me to do? Because I can't just go to a country and say, I'm a missionary. I can't just walk in. You have to say, I'm a businessman, or I'm a this or that, you know. And so God said, well, Jerry, what if you, do some medical work? And I'm like, God, medical work? You know how I hate the sight of blood. I said, are you thinking of that guy? He's talking about somebody else. But, he showed me. He took me back in my life, and there was times where I'd taken CPR classes for adults and children, and I was like, oh yeah. And my last job, they put me in charge of, if anybody got cut at the job, I would take care of them, just the first aid kind of clean up and all that stuff. And so I was like, oh, I never thought of that. Well, the YWAM also offered a school that does, it's called Introduction to Primary Healthcare, which is kind of like an EMT, just really general, basically. And I was like, well, then I guess I'll go for that. So then I went to Montana, went over to Thailand, Laos, and was still just waiting, seeing what God was doing, took another school with medical, and then finally, the Lord was telling me, I want you to go to North Africa. And I was really like, Lord, North Africa, that's where the Muslims are, and it's going to be kind of hard. He's like, just go. I'm like, okay, God. And so it works on my heart, you know, because, you know, when you're like, I don't want to deal with these kind of people, but I'll deal with these kind of people. It's kind of like, you know, segregating yourself. And then I realized, oh, I'm doing that. You know, God says love. You know, for God so loved the world. It wasn't, I love only this and that. I love the world. All nationalities, all people groups. That's them all. So, recently I went to Sudan, South Sudan. I was in a place called Ye. It's not spelled the same way we spell Ye. It's Y-E-I. But I was there for 4 months. And while I was there, I got to do some school ministry with high school groups. Got to preach and do some of that. Went to prison and got to speak in there and did some healthcare teachings, stuff like that. And while I was there, the first few weeks I was there, they had cholera, an outbreak over there. And it was so bad that I would hear, they'd play drums in the middle of the night to have start their morning. They'd start playing drums and start wailing and singing songs that were either sad or like worship songs, but they're kind of just trying to help encourage each other in the Lord, you know? And so they'd be playing drums, and you hear the drums on the east, the west, north, south of where I was staying. And I was like, sometimes you hear on both east and west or north and south, and I was just like, man, God, just stop this cholera outbreak, please. And then their government started getting involved and started cleaning up the water, because that's where they get cholera from, the water. And then it stopped. When I last left, I didn't hear any drums. It was really neat. But during the time I was there, God goes, yes, now you're in Sudan, Africa, where I've called you to. But then he's like, but there's still changing in your life that you need to have done. And I'm like, changing? But God, I thought I was already done. But I guess I wasn't ready yet, because, I mean, he took me through this stuff. And it was just like emotional stuff, relationship, loving when there's a miscommunication and there could be like a grudge held on by me. But he's like, love beyond that. Especially with your own brothers and sisters in Christ. Especially with your own, you know, the people that you're going to be working with for the rest of life. And I remember I cried out to God, and, you know, he encouraged me with Ephesians 3:20, where it says, now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine. Oh, excuse me. 3:20, yeah. You know, imagine, according to his power that is at work within us. So, when I'm weak, then he is strong. And if I try to handle the misunderstanding or miscommunication with myself, and I'm not letting God take over, I'm not going to love. I'm not going to live the way God wants me to live. And then he also strengthened me with just the fact that he is always there with me. He has never left my side. Even when I feel like I'm alone, when I am, you know, weak. It says in Psalm 139, verse 8 to 10, it says, if I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. He will hold me fast, he says. So it was a lot of change, a lot of neat work. And when I'm going back, I'm excited to see what God's going to do, how he's going to mold me some more into his image. You know, we are made to be in the image of Christ. He says, be holy because I am holy. Well, if he tells us to be holy, then we can be holy. We don't sit there and say, oh, I have so many imperfections, I'm so weak. Let God be the strength in your weaknesses. You know, there's something I want to encourage you guys with, because I know you guys each have a plan, each have a purpose in God's sight. It's just, are you willing? Are you ready to do it? Are you ready to go? And it's just, ooh, you can do so many good things. But there's a verse that I see that when God calls all of us to be obedient, all of us, and it's in John chapter 10, verse 3 and 4, and it's talking about Jesus being the the shepherd of his sheep. And you know, when Jesus comes and is the shepherd of his sheep, we are his sheep, and we know we should know him, and we should follow him. And I think it's really interesting. I want you to really think about what we're reading here. In verse 3, it says, the watchman opens the gate for him, Jesus, and the sheep listen to his voice. So how do we know somebody? And how do we know their voice? By talking to them. Well, how do we talk to Jesus? We pray. We get to know him and we ask questions to him. We find out what is he saying to us personally in our lives. And then he goes, and keep continuing, he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. So he knows each one of our names. That's pretty cool. Because it's not like, Billy Bone, Ben, Bob, you know, whatever your name is. Hey, come on up here. No, he's like, I know your name. I know your name. That's so cool. And then when he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and the sheep follow him because they know his voice. Do we know his voice? And I was thinking about this, kind of like a metaphor, I guess, in some ways. But if we are his people, right? We're in his pasture, right? Okay, so he comes in, ta-da, I'm in your life now. And what he does, he's like, okay, guys, you're in your comfort zone, right? You're in your safe pastures. Well, I'm going to call you out each and say, come out of this nice little comfort, this place that you feel safe, and come out. Now you're a little vulnerable. Whoa, this is a little different. This is a little different than where I've been before. And he calls us out of that pen. Remember, he says he calls them out of the pen, and each by name. And then they have to walk, because he starts walking ahead of them. Are we going to walk behind him? Or are we going to kind of cower back and try to head back toward that pen? You know? I think that we have to be really careful with, you know, the way we live, and that we don't stay in that safety of our pen, but we step out. When God says, talk to that person, but God, I don't know that person. Go talk to him. Talk to him about his finances. So you walk up and start talking about finances. He's like, you know what? How did you know? I didn't know. God just told me to talk to you about this. You know, I've had times where God told me to tell somebody something, and I'm like, okay. And so I tell them it, and they start talking to me, and they have this really good conversation. But until you step out and step in God and know his voice, I mean, it's so important. And then finally, I just have a few closing thoughts here. I don't mean these to be, these are questions that I need to ask myself, so don't think these are just directed towards you, please. Are we moving with Jesus? Are we willing to leave our comfort? And that, I mean, I don't think that means you guys have to go all the way over to Sudan and leave your comfort. I think that's just in the community, you know? Your neighborhood, your neighbors, the people that get on your, you know, that cause you to get frustrated, or whoever that is, love them. Love them to death, because God says, I love the world. And if you can't, then ask them to love for you, because that's the only way we can, you know? And then, do we know his voice? And are we acting upon his calling? Are we acting upon what God has told us to do? Are we saying, God says, love, you know, so-and-so. But God, I don't want to love him. He hates me. Or she hates me. And Jesus says, love him. You think I segregated between you and them when I died on the cross? No, he didn't. He didn't segregate anything. He put them and said, this is what I want to see, is the world to know me and know my love. And you guys get to have an opportunity of doing that. And I just want to encourage you, if you guys, I mean, I'm sure you guys probably know this verse, but this is a good verse to memorize. If you don't, it's Proverbs 3, 5, and 5 and 6, where it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. For me, in my life, I know that I would not be in Sudan if I didn't obey his voice, if I did not surrender to Jesus, if I did not give up and say, God, look, I have some things, but I don't have a lot. Make me and mold me and use me as a man of God that you want me to do, to be. No matter how hard, no matter how much you have to rip apart in me to get rid of my flesh, to get rid of this impure being, to be a pure being for you. I mean, it's a beautiful thing. So I just want to encourage you guys, just to trust him. When he tells you guys, whatever it is, do it. And watch him show up. Watch him do good things in your life. I know he has a plan. I know he has a purpose for each one of you guys. Each one of you. So may the Lord bless you. May the Lord give you everything that you guys need. May you trust him and walk in him. Thank you.